For years, Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Through deeply reported, narrative-driven stories, we're digging into the myths, scandals, and power structures that still shape the South, and in a lot of ways, the country itself. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
From the Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center, don't worry about me, I called ART.
Traffic. There are no major issues. Just be aware of construction on I-135 northbound at Kellogg. From the Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center, that's your Odyssey Wichita traffic.
Weather.
Good morning. Cloudy skies will eventually clear out this afternoon. Strong south winds, 15 to 25 and gusty, and a high of 73. Clouds come right back in tonight. Breezy and mild overnight, low 62. Clearing skies, windy and warm on Thursday with a high of 83, but thunderstorms are likely during the evening. Those could be strong, if not severe. Mostly sunny and really nice on Friday, high 77. That's your forecast from Storm Team 12. I'm meteorologist Jake Dunn.
Right now,
the Dan Patrick Show.
Dan Patrick.
I don't think Joker wins another MVP. And it's not because he's not deserving. He's just not going to win it. And Wemby is on the way. Because I would be surprised if Wemby is not the favorite next year to win the MVP. Felt like it might be a little too early this year. He did miss games earlier in the season. He's wonderful to watch. We're lucky to be treated to some... These players, young players, now Joker's not young, but he's still doing things that nobody's ever done. Like when you hear that in any sport, when you go, well, nobody's ever done that. Okay, you got my attention. And I understand this because we do want a new topic. You know, the NBA writers are no different than me or you as a fan where you go, you know, we need a new story here.
The Dan Patrick Show.
Dan and the Danettes, and you.
Middays from 11 until 2 on 97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Odyssey sports draft coverage is presented nationally by Bet365, where winning is everything. Download the Bet365 app and lock in your picks before the game begins. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in select states only. And by Liberty Mutual Insurance. Only pay for what you need.
This is an Odyssey Sports Minute.
The Mets losing ways continued on Tuesday. They fell 5-3 to the Twins, making it 12 in a row that they've now lost. They at least got some good news that Juan Soto is going to return later on this afternoon. He's back in the lineup for the Mets, but 12 in a row with a payroll as high as the Mets have. You've got so many players that you're paying a substantial amount of money and they can't win. I don't know how Steve Cohen does it.
It's time to get back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
Welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily here. It is a Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday. We're glad to be with you on this Wednesday. Longhofer Lawn and Tree Care, celebrating 60 years in Wichita, providing expert lawn care for a healthy lawn, tree and shrub care, and bed weed control since 1966. Longhofer Lawn and Tree Care. Appreciate their support here on Sports Daily as we make our way through one day, just one day, until the NFL draft. We get ready for the Chiefs to perhaps pick 9, perhaps trade up. Lots of different things happening in this. There are pretty wide-ranging opinions on the rankings of these players and where the Chiefs may end up wanting to go. I try to check as many of these publications as I can, and there just isn't a lot of consensus, TJ, outside of the fact that most people really like Arvell Reese, they really like David Bailey, they really like Jeremiah Love. And then it gets, you know, I think people really like Caleb Downs, but he's a safety. And you kind of have a lot of different opinions. I'm looking at one from Mike Renner, who is a guy at CBS Sports. He's got Reuben Bain Jr. as the second best player in this draft. He's got him ahead of Arvell Reese. He's got ahead of David Bailey. So There's no consensus here. We got to remember.
I think so. The thing I thought about the other day, you know, the old cliche in the draft is that once the quarterbacks go in 1, 2, 3 or whatever it is, then it's all like, all right, well, the official draft starts now. And like, really, like, we don't know who's going number two. Like, it's true that I think that as you go into it, like, we'll have guesses, but like, are you shocked? Like, who do you think is going number two? Bailey?
No, I think Reese will go number two.
I was gonna say, it's like I've seen Bailey there, and you know, so who
I think
who
most
knows?
Mocks, because most of the reporting from the Jets is they really like Reese. Bailey's got his flaw of not having a good reputation as a run stopper. But I think, you know, in a lot of places, that's okay. Like you can do different things around that. You're looking for the pass rusher. I mean, pressure on a quarterback is such a hot commodity in the NFL. But yeah, you've got mixed opinions there. The only three players I think that are pretty universally considered awesome, like awesome. And I think Bailey's probably there, but let's say he's not, because a guy just looked at him as a 20. It's two, because Mendoza's going one because Mendoza's the quarterback. It's Reese and it's Jeremiah Love. But Love plays a strange position. It's going to be fun, I hope, for that reason, because we don't have quarterbacks here. And that's really what drives our entertainment value of these drafts. I say it. I'm looking at two drafts now that I have Bailey two and Reese three. And all this stuff matters because of the smoke around the Chiefs' interest to trade up. And I would be stunned if there wasn't, right? If the Chiefs weren't looking at that very seriously, because the hardest thing to find sits there at potentially 2 and 3, and you've got two first-round picks. You got to make those calls. You have to make those calls. And those teams are going to try to hold them over the fire right now. But when it comes down to it, and it's pick three, and the Cardinals are sitting there, and they're like, man, we really like so many of these players. That's where, if you're the Chiefs, you just be ready for the possibility to go up and get somebody. Yeah, or they pick two players, and they'll be fine.
I think it's so interesting is that, you know, we're looking at this through a Chiefs lens, obviously, but like, you know, because they may want to trade up to three, but like if they like Bailey, do they need to trade up to two? Like, and then that's going to happen literally all over the league. Like Brett Veach talked about this, and it was one of the more interesting things that he said the other day is that like the draft is the pool is so interesting this year, like you're saying, because there's no quarterbacks that like, it's such a weird way of trying to evaluate. Like, how much better is Bailey than Carnell Tate? How much better is Jeremiah Love than, Delaney? Like, you could say, like, 2 through 20 are all going to be kind of in that same little echelon a little bit. Like, there's mock drafts, and we see where we think guys will go based on what we've seen reported and fits and things like that. But, like, the drop-off between pick 2 and pick 10 – like, there isn't much. That's what he was saying. And so he thinks that there's going to be more trades than there really ever has been. And it's not because, like, we need to trade up to go get that high-end talent. Like the Chiefs trading up to get Patrick Mahomes, perfect example. Like, that isn't what it's going to be this year. It'll be like, man, like, I have no idea when this guy is going to go. We should just go get it. Like, David Bailey or one of those guys could fall.
I'm looking at Mel Kiper now. So I'm at the four mocks I've looked at this morning. So there must be some reporting happening here that Bailey's going to the Jets at two. Yesterday or the day before, it was consensus that it was Arvell Reese going to the Jets at two. I'm with you. What is the difference between 2 and 9? I don't know. And, you know, Mendoza, I don't think people think Mendoza is the best player in this draft. He's just going number one overall. So really, we look at the whole thing, and by the way, like, it's not always like we're not always right at this part of the draft either. People like to joke of like, oh, you know, the first round are all going to be Hall of Famers, ha 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 ha. No, but the early first round, like, your chances of getting star players are higher, I think, when you go outside of quarterback, even though it's true for quarterback too. But you know, if there's a reason people really like all these players, because they look like they're going to be highly productive NFL players. Either they were highly productive in college, either they have the traits and the measurables. I do tend to lean into production a little bit, which is you know, the Bane case for him is at some point just watch him play. And he was great. But the Chiefs have been bitten by that a little bit in the past, right? Watch Felix Anudike Uzama play college football. There weren't very many edge rushers that disrupted games more than he did. And sometimes you do have to look at those things that concern scouts. And then there's the old backup plans for the Chiefs. And the good thing for the Chiefs, I think, TJ, is they have a million backup plans. Oh, you know what? We take Jordan Tyson there, fine. Oh, you know what? We take right tackle there, fine. Mansoor Delane, fine. We kind of need that anyway. They do have a lot of options, ton of options, because they have a lot of needs, but they're in a good position. They're in a good position to draft where they are. They're in a good position to trade down. They have what it would take to trade up. Like, they really do have the ammo to pretty much do whatever they want.
It feels like it's, you know, for that reason, the Chiefs are in a spot where they literally take, will take anybody. But, like, the Cardinals aren't. Like, I think that that's what we've been talking about and why that's so intriguing and why that makes so much sense is that if you're the Cardinals, like, you can say, like, man, we can move back to 9. That's fine with us. Like, sure, why not? Like, because they're not. But the Chiefs, it makes sense. If you want to move up, if you want to take anybody, you might as well trade up and take one of the best ones that you think.
Chiefs are closer to a Super Bowl than the Cardinals, right?
That too.
The Cardinals could sit there. I still am not convinced they won't sit there and be like, man, Jeremiah Love's too good. Let's just bring in Jeremiah Love. And make our offense with he and the receivers they have and Jacoby Brissett's competent. Let's just do that. And they need help on defense, but they can get help on defense. Like, at some point, because to me, like, he's that dude as far as like who's going to come in and have the least chance to fail in the NFL. I would say Love fits that profile. I would say Caleb Downs fits that profile. I think David Bailey fits that profile. It's hard to me to be that dominant in college and not at least be good. That's probably it for me. Carnell Tate, I probably would put in that set. Like, the chances of Tate not being good. Tate's probably a safer pick than Tyson. Tyson, I think, has more upside. But there's plenty of options for the Chiefs. They can do just about anything tonight, and I'll be happy. What's going to scare me is if they do that Chiefs thing they've done from time to time and they reach on a player. Or if they took like Kenyon Sadiq, I'd be disappointed. If they, what would be another example of this? If they took the, I don't know, Denzel Boston, like one of these receivers further down the board, like who would freak you out a little bit? There doesn't seem like there's going to be a player if they pick at 9 where we're like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, I agree. I think that, you know, you said yesterday that, like, you know, this is elementary draft stuff, but like, here's 10 guys. Don't draft outside of these guys. Make your pick on who you want here. But like, and that's what, you know, again, elementary draft strategy here. Like, having the 9th pick is a much easier pick to make than the 29th pick or the 32nd pick because
you get
like maybe guys. One guy will fall.
Right.
If you're picking 32, you have no idea. Like Josh Simmons could have gone at 16 last year.
I think running the draft would be one of the most fun things you could do in sports because you also have to think whatever you do at 9 is going to impact you at 29. So you have to have all these scenarios play out in hypotheticals. Exactly. Like, if we went this direction at 9, what does that then mean at 29? If we went this other direction at 9, what does that mean at 29? Can we attack this position? But at the end of the day, and we've heard the term used, and I believe it, and when this all started and we knew they were going to pick this high, I 100% believe, like, you just have to take the best player at 9. You can't screw up 9. You never get to pick this high if you're the Chiefs. You probably won't get to anymore. At least you're not planning on it. Get the player that's the best player. You'll find a place for them to play, right? Like, this pick needs to help them open their new stadium. You're picking in the top 10. You don't ever get to do that. Who's the player that is going to be taking the reins from Chris Jones, Travis Kelce someday soon? Like, who is that dude when you pick there? That's where, like, the reach play gets a little dicier for me. That's where if it's Caleb Downs, I'm like, you know what? That's just fine. That dude is a great football player. Great. Fine. You'll figure out a way to use him. Whereas you get into some of these other spots, you're like, I don't know about that. Like, what are we doing here? We're picking 10. Make that pick with 29. If you like some player that some others may grade as a second or third rounder, take that dude at 29. But at 9, you got to get it right. You got to get it right. We'll see what Joshua Briscoe thinks about it in just a little bit.
Running the draft seems awful, by the way. Running the draft, running a draft room on draft night, if I was in those shoes, that seems like an impossible task.
I think it'd be so fun.
I'm awful in fantasy drafts about, like, because we do untimed rookie drafts in our leagues that we do, which are the best way to do this, by the way. Untimed drafts are the best. Take your time. We don't need to do this for a while. Or slow that. Rollers. You get like an hour. Like, those are the best.
Oh, God. I need more. I need 3 seconds to make my picks.
No, I need to think about
it. You act like you haven't been thinking about it before.
Well, if it's your first round pick, you can go fast. But then it gets, like I'm saying here, is that what happens if somebody takes your guy, and then you're doing this, and then you want to make trades. It's like, I don't want this. Who wants this pick? And you need everybody to lock in and be like, all right, you have – I can't do that in
that
a three-minute span.
In fantasy football.
Oh, it does. You're in the wrong leagues, and I need time to happen in fantasy, I need time to run my trade board.
Look, it's TJ again. Everybody, you got 5 minutes. Just take a break here. Everybody go get a beer. He's going to take this timer down to 4 before he makes his pick here. I draft fantasy sports like I play golf. Like, what are we doing here? Let's get up there and go. Like, why are we waiting? I already waited around. It's time to go. In the NFL, yes, they do need to weather out trades for sure. TJ, real quick, we'll pivot in segment here because we have a lot to cover today. Transfer portal news. There's quite a few, and we all have headlines we missed too, but we can't wait for Paul and Bia until headlines we missed. That's the big one for us that we'll get into, and we'll have more with Shreya Slada later, but I guess it's at least good to get that out of the way because KU still doesn't have much to work with, and like it got to the point where, boy, I sure hope they can get Paul and Bia back. And they do. He's back.
They do. They do. On the buzzer of the portal closing, and Shreya's story that he's talking about, he'll talk to us about that. Like, strong words were used about, money can't buy me loyal, money can't buy my loyalty and all those things. So it's cool that he's coming back. I still don't know, Jacob. We'll ask Shreya this. I don't know if he's going to be a starting center or not next year. Like, right now he is because there's nobody else. But, like, I wonder if, like, if you're picking between, Bonk or him, like, I don't know who you're making that decision. I think he's better than Bonk, but I don't know if this discussion.
You're going to be surprised.
I know.
With him being next year.
I'm sure he's going to be awesome. Yeah. His tape was really good in Europe. But, like, to Mbia's credit, this holdout, which we roll our eyes at about the fact of, like, the reporting of, like, he wants to come to KU, but his agents are just making sure that he's got the right compensation. That makes us like, oh, okay.
Yeah,
like,
it doesn't make me. It's what his agents are supposed to do.
But then you look at it from, like, things that they're saying. It's true. Is that, like, listen, if every person that's ever signed a contract, has said this sentence about, like, it's like, you're paying me this, but if I leave, you're going to pay somebody else that. So why can't I just get that? And that's what he's saying. And so based on that part of it, that to me seems like KU is saying, like, listen, man, we want you back, but we're not paying you starting center money. Like, we'll pay you a discount. You can come sit the bench and you can be the backup and play. Like, that's what the writing on the wall tells me. And, if that's not the case, then KU just got a hell of a discount on a guy that, if Paul, this is the way to think about it. Like I'm saying here, what if Paul Mbia was coming from NC State like he did the first time around? And they got him this offseason because they needed a center, they would have paid him $4 million.
Not if his production was the exact same as it was a year ago. I think you got to, like, remember his circumstances. One, he was behind Flory Badunga, who who is as pure a college center and great defensive player of the year, was awesome and was limited a little bit offensively. And Bia might end up being a better offensive player. He's not going to be as good defensively, but he's going to be better defensively than Bonk. He outplayed Bryson Tiller down the stretch. Bryson Tiller's a five-star blue chip prospect who we were all in love with at the beginning of the year. And Bia outplayed him late in the year, obviously, or Bill Self wouldn't have been playing him. So I think Mbia's got a chance to be very productive next year. I love when guys bet on themselves like this, which is what he's doing, because you're seeing an opportunity here, if you're Mbia, to stay at Kansas, again, play for a coach and in an offense that likes to feature the center, has to be as much as any coach in America. Right? Like, the center is always critical for Kansas, always, for Bill Self. And so you're that dude. I don't think there's a plan to bring somebody else in to play over Mbia. They may need a backup, but if they bring in Bonk, he is not going to start over
Mbia. I'm telling you. He will be slated as the starter. I think you and I both think.
What the hell does that mean? Who starts game one?
I'm telling you that I think that the thought process, if they bring in Bonk, is that Bonk is going to be the starting center.
We'll ask Trius Lotta. I bet he will be.
I think that we both agree, though, that if Bonk comes to KU, like Paul and me, it might be better than Bonk.
I think there's no might be about it. In the Big 12. Bonk's a good player. I don't mean this to be a knock.
They love him. The portal loves him. He's the hottest name in the portal.
They love all these centers. Like, they literally love all of them. Now, which is NBA's agents, I think, or representatives, what they're saying. Like, what are we doing here? But when you score, 2 points a game last year? Like, what are you supposed to do? All right, we'll come back. We got more Sports Daily. Shreyas Lotta will help us with that later. Don't go away on a Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday.
Sports Radio KFH.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
He said, "Is there anything in your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar?" I said, "Sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious." He said, "I think that might be it."
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.